So we're going to share with you in this section a few ways to have fun in the business. And remember, what we're talking about is on the phone. So the first thing I want to do is give it over to Kim, because Kim, I know that one thing that you did at the very beginning of your business and something that we still do today is we get on the phone together with a group of people. Maybe we'll have two or three people over the house. We'll have everybody bring their lists over, maybe their chicken list over, people their chicken to call, and we work the phones together.
Okay, let me talk to you a little bit about what a workout partner is and why you want a workout partner, and let me explain how you can find a workout partner. Now, first of all, you know, Mike and Steve have been workout partners because they got involved together, so they're brothers. They're obviously workout partners. And when I first got involved, I had my sponsor, Rob, who was a workout partner with me for a limited amount of time, only because, of course, that he was my sponsor and he was sponsoring other people. So sometimes, you know, your sponsor isn't the best person to be your workout partner. What I did was I went to the meetings. Again, you know, going to the meetings is where I met my workout partner. And where I met my workout partner was just talking to them, getting to know them. And then what I did was I found somebody who had the same interests as me, had the same goals, had the same ambition, had the same drive to go to the top of the company, and we just became great workout partners, and his name was Dennis. And Dennis and I would do so many different things, but here's what Dennis and I did. We had a give-take relationship. It wasn't that Dennis gave, and I never gave him anything, or I just took from him. You got to understand that your workout partner, you have to have a synergy between you, that you can help him, and he can help you. And let me explain, that doesn't mean they have to be in your downline, doesn't mean that they have to be in your upline. They could be somebody that's sidelined to you. They could be somebody in somebody else's organization like this was, that was sidelined to us. So Rob had sponsored both of us, but we weren't in each other's organization. So we just worked well together because we had the same energy going into it. So I think that the best thing to do is to go out and meet the people, go to the event around the event, like Mike said, and find somebody who's got the same, maybe the same amount of time they can put into it. They've got the same amount of energy they want to put into it, but you know that you're going in the same direction. So Dennis and I would simply, you know, at the very beginning, what we would do is we would say to each other, okay, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we're going to work together. We're going to work together from 3 until 6 o'clock or whatever time it was. And what we would do is we would change places. You would come over to my house one time. I would go over to his house one time. And it was so much fun because in this business, it's sort of like a roller coaster business. You have ups and downs. And some phone calls, you get so many downs that it's so hard to pick up that phone. It gets really, really heavy at times, but it's okay when you have somebody there saying, Kim, it's okay, don't worry about it, it just happened to me. And what Dennis and I used to do was he used to be on the other phone listening to me. And we would actually do this. So how it would work was Dennis wouldn't actually say anything. He would just listen to me, and he would then critique me, or he would say, this was a great thing that you said. Make sure you say that next time. Or, hey, Kim, maybe you should have said it this way. And so not only were we just, you know, having fun together and working on this, but we were really getting together and getting to better at our phone calls and how to use the language and how to invite and stuff like that.
You know, this is so important. You know, the whole workout concept, like Steve said, we wouldn't be in this business today if we hadn't had each other there. You know, about, I don't know, maybe about 2 or 3 months into the industry, we went out to a lecture. I heard Mr. Mark Victor Hansen and Jack Canfield speak, and the guys who were famous for the Chicken Soup of the Soul series. Now, this was in the very beginning. Chicken Soup had not even been published yet at this point in time, and they were doing a lecture, and Mark was talking about it. Mark Victor Hansen, he said this. He said, you know, the concept of a workout partner or a mastermind partner comes from the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And Jack and I, he said, we became workout partners. We became mastermind partners. We brainstormed together. We worked together. We developed that vision together. And says, and probably most importantly, we had each other's back. He said, somehow, some way, you got to find somebody who you can stand back to back with when the yogurt hits the rotating object. You know, when the yogurt hits the fan. Of course, we laughed when we first heard that. But Steve and I looked at each other and we realized that we had really developed that type of relationship. Because let's face it, you know, when you're going in this business, in this industry, it's a long way to the top. There's lots of ups and downs. You know, there's lots of things where things don't go the way you want. Luckily, and the good news is that becomes part of your story, and we'll talk more about that later. But Steve and I really got, you know, we had a lot of people telling us it wasn't going to work. You know, you guys are crazy. It ain't going to happen. But we'd look at each other, and we had a commitment to each other that no matter what, and really no matter what, we weren't going to quit. And I tell you, there were times I was tempted to quit, but because I had that commitment to my partner, I wasn't going to quit, and I wouldn't quit on him.
Mike, I remember a lot of the times when we would leave the events, the big events with thousands of people. And man, when you're at that event, you are excited. It's hard not to be excited. You know, the speakers are great and everybody's making money and it's exciting and you're hearing success stories. And what happens for most people, when you get to the airport, man, all your friends are gone. And then you notice the people are a little bit negative. And you know, and geez, by the time you get in the taxi cab or whatever, you get home, the feeling that you had at the event is gone. You know, that happens for a lot of people. But for us, what would happen is we would be more excited when we got home because we would sit there on the plane. And the same thing happens for Kim and I today. We might be on the plane and say, hey, remember that guy in the front row? That guy was excited. Hey, remember when this person said that or this person said that? So what happens is, by the time we got home to the front door in a day, two, three, 4 days a week after the event, we were still excited. And again, it's the concept we've talked about, staying close to the fire. The closer you can stay to the fire, the hotter you'll get.
And I want to just talk to you about one concept that I think is a great example, and I think that everybody should use this because this is a good way that you can train your brand new associates as well. So say, you know, on a Friday night, well, maybe Friday night's not the best night. Let's say Sunday night, because Sunday night's always the best night to call people. But Sunday night, you get together and you have four or five people from your team there, and you have your workout partner there. And what you do is you all of you have 10 people that you're going to call that night, and you've got a three-hour period, and you're all going to call 10 people. And basically what you're going to do is it's called a call party. And that way you've got your brand new people, right? And they don't really, they don't know what to say. They don't know how to say it. However, they're listening to me. They're listening to Dennis, who has already done this so many times. So you're training your brand new people. They're in an environment that it's okay. And if they mess up, it's okay. I mean, you know, everybody does that. So it's not a big deal. And if they're scared to do that first phone call, well, everybody's there cheering them on, saying, you know, you can do it. You know, this is, you know, here, let me show you how easy it is, you know, or let me give an example. So that way I think is just so much fun because this business is about having fun. You know, everybody has another job usually when they first start this business. Usually you're doing this on a very part-time basis. And for you to be able to do this business and to feel good about what you're doing, you need to have some fun. So if you're having troubles making phone calls right now, call your sponsor, call somebody in the business that's a mentor of yours and say, you know what, can we have a few people together and do a call party? I'd love to hear some of the ways you do a call, because I think if I listen to you, you know, that'll give me the energy to make a phone call myself. And then you're going to be surprised of how many, you know, how many people you can get out to that meeting, out of that call party. Maybe you could even have a contest. I know, Steve, you and Mike are big on having contests with each other. And now Steve and I are big on having contests with each other of how many people can you get out to that meeting, you know? And so what you could do is have the call party and whoever gets, you know, five guests at that meeting, well, they have to buy dinner for everybody who is at that call party. Something, make it fun and exciting. And if you're competitive, you'll like this part.
Man, if the person that had the most guests had to buy, I'd be buying you two dinner every time out. I'll tell you that right now. But that's exactly what we used to do. One thing that we really recommend that as you're starting your business is that you go out and get either a whiteboard or what we really recommend is a flip chart. We've had the same flip chart Mike, I think you've had this flip chart for maybe 15 years now, and it's, you know, it's got one of the things missing on the bottom, and it leans a certain way, but it's our flip chart, and it's been in our war room with us many, many years. But we sit there, and we constantly write, like, say Mike's on the phone with a prospect, and, you know, I might write on the flip chart, hey, don't say anything until you tell them everything, you know, in other words, get off the phone now, and we'll write notes and back and forth to each other, and we'll constantly give each other feedback. But I'm going to tell you, there's not an easier way to get better on the phone than to have two or three of your associates, your distributors over there with you. And it also, it's great for a new person because a new person is very nervous on the phone for the first few times. I remember I had a young woman that was listening in on some phone calls that I was doing. She was over the house, and she was pretty nervous about picking up the phone. So I said, just watch me. I'll make a few phone calls. And the first phone call I made, my prospect was rude. They were negative. They hung up on me. It was just a bad phone call. And I thought to myself, what a horrible example I've just shown to this person. And I hung up the phone, and she was smiling. She was giggling. She said, that was great. I'm so glad that you get rejected just like I do. And so what I thought was a negative example really turned out to be a positive example. So have a workout partner is number 10. And, you know, a lot of people will stop themselves where, you know, I don't know how to find a workout partner. What Kim said is so important, getting in the game. And just one concept that we want to share with you is be valuable to other people. You know, the question is why would somebody else want to have you as a workout partner as much as why would you want to be somebody else's workout partner? Have something to offer to people. And the best advice is just start where you're at. Find somebody that's like-minded, going in a like direction that you can see eye to eye with, and your workout partner a year from now doesn't have to be your workout partner today.
You know, and again, this workout partner is so, this concept is so, so valuable. Let me tell you a story about one of the things that really kept me in the business was a workout partner. And it was about, I don't know, 2 or 3 months in the business. And I was on the phone with one of our distributors, and you probably had this happen to you. They told me they were going to do something and they didn't do it. You know, I'd been in Small Business America before that. And I was used to when I was the employer. When I hired people, they did what I told them to do. And here it was different. It was a volunteer army. It took me some time to get used to it. And I was so angry this day. This person said they were going to do something. They didn't do it. And I was back. We were living at my sister's house, Steve and I. I was stomping down the stairs with a portable phone in my hand. Steve said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "You know, this person, they said blah, blah, blah." And he said, "Hold on a second. Stop." And again, I want you to understand why it was so valuable for me to have a workout partner in this moment. Because I was so mad, I might have just called it a day right then. And I may have never understood the point that I learned in the next couple of minutes. Steve said, "Hang on, Mike. You know, if everybody got in the business, did what they said they were going to do, there'd be no real opportunity here. There'd be no reason for down the road at the end, you know, when a learning curve kicked in and a growth curve kicked in, for there to be big bucks here." And that really struck me, and it really helped me put up with the frustration and the disappointments and all the other stuff that came along the way. And it all went back to having a workout partner.
Okay, Mike, appreciate that. Number 11 is be persistent but not pushy. Be persistent but not pushy. I think one of the most rewarding conversations that I've had is when a distributor that you've personally sponsored comes up to you and says, "I just want to thank you for being so persistent. I told you no so many times," and we've all had that happen. "I've told you no so many times, and the fact that you were persistent and that you believed in me and you thought I could do this, it means a lot to me, and that's the reason I'm here today." If you can have those conversations taking place in your organization, that is definitely a good thing. But be persistent but not pushy. You know, it's funny, but people have caller ID these days. You know, if somebody comes home from work and they see that you've tried to call them 114 times between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., they're going to be very nervous to talk to you. And I kid around, but that's what a lot of people do. And, you know, in being persistent, one of the philosophies, one of the keys, one of the concepts that you want to keep in mind is that people are watching you. You know, if you say, "Hey, I'll call you back Wednesday afternoon," and you don't call back till the weekend, they're thinking, and maybe it's on a subconscious level, but they're thinking, "Can I trust this person? Do I want to do business with this person? Is this person reliable? How serious are they about their business?" So in being persistent, make sure that you do what you say you're going to do. And there's an old saying in this industry, stick and stay and you'll get your pay. Persistence pays off.
You know, Steve, again, I mean, and I like that part about none of us want to be pushy. You know what? None of us want to be a pain in the neck. And people say, "I don't want to be that way." I just say, you know what? Simply don't be that way. You know, and that's where it goes back. You talked about this earlier, asking for permission. Is this a good time to talk and such? But persistence really matters. And I'll tell you, you know, talk about the qualification process again. When we're in the, you know, we're qualifying people. And I know this. When I find somebody who I believe if they got in business with me, they'd be a real asset to the team, I stick with that person. I stay with that person. I'll give you an example. He's a top distributor from another company. And he and I, you know, Steve actually met this guy before I did. Steve met him the guy was doing an opportunity meeting, and Steve went into the other room. We were at a hotel, and he just introduced himself and he got the guy's business card and brought it home. And he actually challenged me one day. You know, we were who were we going to call? And we were a little bit scared to make these calls. He said, "I have this guy's card. You know, why don't you give him a call?" And you know, it was the competitive spirit that really made me pick up the phone. And I was glad when I got the guy's answering machine. I didn't get him in the beginning because I was nervous and I had never called a guy who was a top money earner in another company. But over time with this gentleman, what happened was we just got to know each other. We just got to be friends with each other. You know, he never signed up with our opportunity or anything like that. But even to this day, we're still friends. Every 4 to 6 weeks, we check in with each other, check how it's going. And he, you know, he's made some changes in his life and I've made some changes in mine. At different times, we put different opportunities in front of each other. But where did it come from? It came from being persistent. It came from, you know, I found somebody who was worth having, so I persisted in establishing a relationship with them. And here's what I say about it, the way of not being pushy, simply be the kind of person you want to be. You know, you want to be a friendly person, be a friendly person. It's really simple stuff.
Yeah, Mike, you know, it's a perfect example of being persistent because of the timing in people's lives. I mean, it just may not be that time in their life. And maybe you haven't heard this yet, but it's having a drip list. Sometimes, you know, people, you need to be persistent with them. You need to drip on them because the timing in their life at that moment might just be perfect for them. They might not need a change in their life. But you know what? With things that are happening in the world, maybe in 2 months that changes, maybe in 5 months, maybe a year, maybe even 2 or 3 years. You know, if that person, if you believe that person is worth your amount of time to keep on pursuing, to keep on being persistent with, then do it. You have to be the judge of that character, how badly you want them in your business. So what I have is I have a drip list. I have people who I have on my list that I contact, and when I get off the phone, before I get off the phone with them, I say to them, is it okay, since the timing's not right for you right now, is it okay that I call you in a few months and just check up with you? And what I'll do is if there's somebody that's coming into town for a meeting that I think that they may relate to, I'm going to call them. And I'm going to call them back and say, hey, I'm just calling to check in with you. You know, we have an exciting event this Saturday. You know, da-da-da-da, so-and-so is coming. I think you'd really relate to him. I think you'd like him. You probably really enjoy the presentation. And I'll just keep on dripping. Or say something comes out exciting about your company. They just, you know, something, a new product, a new service, something came about the company, and you want to fax them something, you want to email them something. So there's different ways that you can drip on people. And believe me, a person that's a business person, has a business mind, will appreciate your persistency. So again, it's not being pushy, it's being persistent with that person.
Kim, those are great tips. And another one is, like, sometimes when you go to either Mexico or Hawaii or somewhere exciting, we'll send a postcard to all of the people on our drip list. You know, we'll bring 30, 40 postcards with us and spend a couple hours just filling them out. And again, we're not being pushy. We're just being persistent. We continually put our name and our opportunity in front of them in a positive way. And the next section that we're going to move to here in just a moment is exposures. And in the topic of persistency, it takes about 5 to 7 good exposures for someone to make a business decision. Realize that you're asking somebody to change, you know, to carve out another 8 or 10 or 12 hours of their life, or maybe even possibly make a career change. And these aren't always decisions that can be made the first time, the second time. You know, they have to think about it. They have to run it past their spouse. If you want to have somebody that's going to be solid in your business, and that's not just going to say yes, and then the next week is going to say yes to someone else, and the next week they're going to be off doing someone else, you want them to make a solid decision. But realize it takes about 5 to 7 exposures, good exposures minimum, for a good prospect to say yes. And that's what we're going to talk about next.
Okay, so before we move on, let's just go back over these 11 rules of contacting and inviting. Okay, number one, the person asking the question is in charge. Real simple stuff, okay? Number two, be yourself. Number three, don't say anything until you can say everything. Number four, use their hot buttons to invite them on out. Number five, create a sense of urgency. Number six, use fear of loss. Number seven, have enthusiasm. Remember, I am not Steve Melia. Okay, but no, truly, have enthusiasm. Number eight, use the Noah's Ark approach to the business, invite in pairs. Number nine, become a storyteller. Number 10, have a workout partner. Number 11, be persistent, but not pushy.